Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. Today, we want to start a new series on our podcast called Being Led by the Spirit. And I believe this is going to be probably one of the most important podcasts we've done, or series we've done on the subject of discipleship, because being led by the Spirit is so vital to our walk with the Lord. And so as we get into this teaching, I believe, you know, that you will benefit from this as well as we will. So before we get into that, as my custom is, I'd like to introduce my sweetheart and let her have her some opening comments here.
Hi, everyone. God bless you. What a beautiful topic. I know that we've already been so enriched. Our lives have been touched in such powerful ways. I do know that our minds have been renewed and continue to be renewed. And a very important thing for us to know right up front, it's that as we will be speaking about the Holy Spirit, it's important to know that He is such a beautiful person. The Holy Spirit is such a beautiful person, and He is part of the Trinity. So, oh boy, I'm telling you, I am giving you a heads up. If you listen to this and you participate with your heart, you will definitely sense, feel the presence of the Holy Spirit Himself. So open up your heart and let's get ready to walk down this beautiful, beautiful road of knowing this wonderful person and what He's doing with us and for us.
Amen, sweetheart. That's beautiful. I always thank you for your contribution to the podcast. You know, we make a wonderful team, and I really so much appreciate you. Okay, so we're going to start out with Romans chapter 8, verse 14. And it says, I'm reading from the New King James Translation. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." And one may think in the beginning, why does that matter? Why does it matter that we are led by the Holy Spirit? It's because it's the Holy Spirit that God gives us to guide us into all truth. There's scriptures that refer to that, and we'll get to those in a little bit. But the fact is, God didn't put us on earth so that we can wander aimlessly, nor did He put us on earth so that He can hold us accountable for not doing the things that we should do without the help to be able to do it. You know, because some people say, well, you know, God, He loves us, but at the same time, He's not really too concerned about our daily affairs in our life. Because, you know, our life is not all that important to Him. And because God is so big, He's got bigger and grander things to be dealing with. And as a matter of fact, He's got a universe to run. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. So why does He have time for little old me? Mm. Well, the thing is, we've talked about this before, sweetheart, in a previous series, is that He loves us and wants to have a relationship with us.
That's right.
And the best way for Him to be able to do that, you know, it might be a new revelation to some of you, and it also quickens my heart as a reminder how awesome this privilege is that He would send His Holy Spirit, His very own Spirit, to live on the inside of us so that He can guide us.
That's beautiful.
And speak to us and have that communion with Him through His Spirit. And it is a beautiful thing, just as you're saying. It's not just a matter of, okay, He's going to guide you into making the right decisions on your job, you know, or right decision on where to turn when you get lost out in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. All these things are awesome benefits, too, to have, where He can guide you and direct you away from mishap and help you to make good quality decisions in purchasing a house or, you know, what job to choose and where to move to. And all these things are all great things. But yet it's much more intimate and personal than that. You know, that's just a part of it. He wants to have that relationship with everybody. And in that, He can do that by living on the inside of us to be able to communicate with us. So we're not having to send that prayer request to heaven and wait, you know, 30 days or a month or 6 months for him to get back to us. I mean, imagine if we had to do that with the President of the United States or whomever, you know, some important dignitary, we'd have to send a request off and wait for approval because their time is, you know, valuable. And they don't have time for everybody and everything, but God does because Amen. He's omnipotent.
Amen.
He can have a relationship with you, me, my wife, and everyone else all at the same time.
That's amazing.
And be communicating with you individually all at the same time because he is not limited.
That's right.
I mean, think about that. He loves you so much that he can communicate and commune with you constantly, always, all the time, and you can have that fellowship and that relationship with him. So being led by the Holy Spirit has many benefits and applications to our very life. And I don't know, even through this series that we're going to do, we'll probably just be scratching the surface of all the things that's available to us.
Definitely, that's true. And when you think about the Holy Spirit and being led by him, once again, God is so good that, you know, he didn't leave us orphans. And I think we mentioned that before in another podcast, which, by the way, we encourage all our listeners to please make sure that you go back and listen to the previous podcast, because truly each one of them is just packed with truth because it's the Word of God and wonderful, wonderful insight. So we know you're going to be very blessed. But, you know, God did not leave us orphans. He left us he gave us the Holy Spirit when Jesus returned back and he sat at the right hand of the Father. We can't even begin to imagine how these disciples were feeling to see their God, to see their hero, their Messiah, their friend, their beloved one leave. But God is so perfect that he did not leave us orphans. And Jesus said, it's a good thing. It's good that I leave, because now the Holy Spirit will come and he is going to abide within. But we know the Holy Spirit as a spirit of truth. You know, sometimes people have different definitions and think that the Holy Spirit is just this thing. But he's a person, you know, and he knows us because he is God and he loves us. And he's on a mission. He's not just here to fill up space. The Holy Spirit is on a mission. And his mission is, one, if we don't know Jesus, to reveal Jesus. And once we do know Jesus, then to make us like Jesus. So he is on a mission.
That is beautiful. I mean, because he said that Holy Spirit would reveal him who he was to
right,
us.
Right.
You know, so he's there to teach us about God,
exactly,
the Father,
exactly,
and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he even said to them in John chapter 14, verse 26, he says, but the helper, well, let me back up here, because I think it's very important that we get to some preliminary things about this, where Jesus is talking to his disciples, you know, before he's going to leave the earth, to kind of get them prepared for this transition. You know, they're no longer going to be walking with him in the flesh. He's going to send the Holy Spirit. Now they're going to be walking with God in a different way than they were before.
That's right.
So he says here, at that day, verse 20, you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me, we love to my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my commandment, keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.
Amen.
Well, he's going to do that by the Holy Spirit.
Hmm.
It said, he does not love me, does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you.
Amen.
Now consider that, you know, the fact that when the Holy Spirit comes to abide inside the Christian believer, he's going to be there to teach them all things and bring to their remembrance all things that he said to them. Wow. So you know what? He's going to make you look a whole lot smarter.
That is true.
You know, people talking about how smart sometimes, you know, I hear people tell me in my Bible study classes, oh, you Brother Keith, you're so smart. You know so much. The Holy Spirit taught me. It ain't so much that I'm so smart other than being smart enough to realize, hey, I need to sit under the Lord and let him teach me through the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And he'll make you a whole lot smarter. And he goes on and says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You've heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave commandments, so do I. Arise, let us go from here. So, you know, he's talking about to his disciples how he's preparing them for this transition, because they've known him in the flesh. You know, Jesus come in the flesh and being their leader, and they're being his disciples, following him and watching all the miracles and all the healings and all the things that he's done and taught. And now he's basically letting them know that, you know, you're going to be on your own, but you're not going to be on your own,
right?
Because the Father is going to send the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit in my name, and he will abide with you. And matter of fact, like he says back here, up here in verse 23, he said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home or abode mm-hmm. with him. That's wow, that's powerful. So
that is.
The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father and the Son living on the inside of you. So you got God living in you.
Wow.
If you receive him. Now, of course, we need to make this, you know, clear to those who may not understand anything about what we're really talking about, you know, or had never had an experience in church and learning these things. How is he going to come and do that? What would be the requirements on our end for us to be able to receive the Holy Spirit? Well, we read over here in Acts chapter 2, I think it's Acts chapter 2, 38. Let me turn there. I want to back up here a few verses. In verse 33, he said, therefore, this was Peter preaching. He says, therefore, being exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into heavens, but he himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the Amen. Promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be safe from this perverse generation. And then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Now, this is very important, you know, because we know there's going to be people who are going to listen that aren't born again, haven't right. not received Jesus Christ as Lord. And we offer this invitation always, every podcast. My sweet, beautiful wife always makes that invitation for people to receive Christ. And you have to receive him. You can't, you know, we're talking about being led by the Holy Spirit. You can't just say, well, you know what? I don't really need to be concerned about receiving Jesus and all this. Yeah, okay, I believe Jesus was a good man. and so on and so on, and think you can pray to God to be led by the Holy Spirit. You have to receive Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, to be born again, in order for you to receive the Holy Spirit. Right. You can't go around that to get the Holy Spirit.
No.
Because if you try to do that, you're going to get some other kind of spirit.
Very dangerous.
That may give you the impression that he's the right. Holy Spirit, but he's not. Because the Holy Spirit comes through Jesus Christ. And that's the only way you're going to receive him. And I say that because I've heard people say similar things. That, I don't need to be saved. I don't need to receive Jesus. I can go to God directly and his Holy Spirit can guide me. Like you just said, it's very dangerous. The Holy Spirit is given through Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And that's how you receive him. So getting back to where we started with on this subject about being led by the Holy Spirit, as you receive him, the intention is this, is that you give your life to him for what he did for you. He died on the cross for your sins, and basically you're returning the favor. You're accepting him as Lord and Savior. Yes, you accepted him for the salvation of your sins, but yet you are to give your life to him to serve him because he redeemed you from destruction, from eternal damnation, and has given you eternal life. So we're to give our lives to him. So when people say, yes, I've made Jesus my Lord and Savior, those are two different words. That mean two different things. Savior is one who saved you from your sins, but Lord is somebody you submit to and surrender to, amen, to follow and obey, to become, in a sense, your boss.
That's right.
And so if you're willing to do that, he gives the Holy Spirit in order to guide you. Because he's very, ask yourself this question. What would constitute God leading you by his Holy Spirit if you're unwilling to follow his Holy Spirit? And in order to follow his Holy Spirit, you need to be submitted to the Lord, submitted to his will for your life, because he's not leading you in the way you want him to lead you. He's not your personal assistant. He's not there to, I'll pull him out of the, I'll rub the magic genie bottle and I'll get him to give me the right, lottery ticket numbers when I'm ready to win the lottery. Or when I go down to the car dealership, he'll, show me the best car to buy. He's there to guide you into the affairs of life according to his will.
Amen.
He's the one to be the boss and determine what it is we're to do with our lives. So certainly I can ask him if I go to the car lot and say, Lord, what would be the best vehicle should I buy? But before I even have done that, I should have already been asking him whether or not it was his will for me to even buy a new car. Because if you're buying a new car, you're usually going to make payments or you're going to put out a whole lot of money. Because these days, cars aren't cheap. And so, is it his will for you to spend $40,000 for a new car? Is it his will for you to have a $500 car payment every month? You say, that's my business to do what I want with it. But if you make the Lord Jesus the Lord of your life, for him to be the leader in your life, then all our decisions, especially major decisions, we're supposed to submit to him. Because suppose you say, I don't see anything wrong with that. What's the big deal about buying a brand new car? Well, what if all of a sudden, the Lord says, hey, I want you to give up what you're doing, and I want you to go to Africa or India, or I want you to go to somewhere where, you're not going to have that car. Because here we are, in Pennsylvania, and if he were to say next week, I want you to go to Africa and out in the bush where we're not going to need a car or have a car, then what am I going to do with the vehicle I have? What am I going to do about the payments if I had the payments? See, people don't think about stuff like that. They don't think about what God might ask them to do next week. They're just thinking about it here and now and how he can help them with the decision they want to make. And we're in that place right now. We will be a little bit open about our own life here. I'm sure my wife doesn't mind us talking about this, but we're looking at purchasing some land or some property and building a house. And yet every day we pray about it. Lord, if this is your will, we want you to open doors and close doors according to your will. We want to do exactly what he wants us to do because we want to please him. and honor him. And at the same time, we don't want to get entangled into things that we come to find out later on. Now we're stuck with this, you know, this loan and we can't pay because God now is requiring us to do something that's completely different than what we expected. It's important to pray and it's important to seek God's will in things. But in that, one needs to understand that if you're wanting God's guidance, then it does very little good to ask God to guide you if you're not willing to do what he wants you to do. You've got to be willing to submit to his will. And he is a person. Just as you said, sweetheart, that's the right. Holy Spirit is a person, the one person in of the Trinity, of the triune God, the that's Father, right. The Son, the Holy Spirit. And he has a mind of what God, the Father, and the Son wants us to do, and he's going to speak. And we see that.
That's right.
We see that in the scripture you mentioned before we started this podcast, John chapter 16, verse 13. Let's turn to that scripture real quick here. It's been one of my favorite scriptures for a long time. And it says, however, let's back up before we even get to that verse. He's talking to them in verse 12. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And see, this was what's also great about God, is that he knows what we need when we need it, because he knows how much we can handle. And he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, as the word authority is in italics, meaning the original translators added that word. He will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you of things to come, or show you things to come, as the King James translation says. For he will glorify me, this is Jesus speaking, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. And this is amazing, because you will have the Holy Spirit in you to guide you into all truth. What truth? The truth that he wants to reveal to you, the truth that he wants to teach you, not the truth that you want to manipulate God into giving you. Well, Lord, I want to know what the winning lottery ticket numbers are going to be. I want to know whether this car is going to last me 10 or 20 years and outlast and outperform the other vehicles, when you haven't even asked them about whether or not you should be purchasing these things or doing these things. So what we're getting at here is submission to the Lord. Submission to him so that his Holy Spirit can live in you and guide your life according to his plan. And if you haven't realized it yet, God has a specific plan for you that's tailor-made for you, because he created you and gave you specific gifts and callings that he formed in you before you were even born. As he told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I called you to be a prophet to the nations. Imagine how powerful that is. That, see, God, he don't create people. And I've said this before, sweetheart, in some of our previous podcasts, he don't create people and then scratch his head and say, oh, wow, what am I going to do with all these people? You know, I mean, what am I going to do with Keith? What am I going to do with Karina? What am I going to do with them? No, he already has a plan for us before he creates us. He is a God who declares the end from the beginning, who already sees ahead of time what he wants to do before he creates it. And he already has it worked out. So it's just a matter of us getting in submission to him and allowing him to lead us and guide us into that thing, if we're willing to allow him to lead us.
Amen. And you know, the word lead and leading and guiding keeps coming up. And the truth is that in order for us to be guided by the Holy Spirit, as you said, we first have to belong to Jesus, right? And in order to even do it with obedience and joy, we have to be able to trust him. And that's something that I know our listeners know, that we can trust God, but we have to remember that the Holy Spirit is God. So when God himself says, I'm going to guide you, it's through the Holy Spirit. And when you were talking about that and repeating the word guide, two things come to mind. One, why does God think that we need guidance, right? That's probably a question. Guide me why? I mean, I'm smart. I have a mind. I know what, where, when. But when we remember the verse that we shared prior, where the Lord tells us, no, I know you have a mind. I know you have thoughts. I know you have ideas, but my thoughts are higher, are better than yours.
That's great. Awesome.
That's why I'm going to guide you, because you may think that going left is good. No. That's because you're not seeing what I see. Right is the best way for you, but we don't know it because we are very limited. So one, it's really important to know that God wants to guide us because his guidance is a trezillion times better than our own guidance, our own ideas, and our own will. And then what also came to mind, I know someone who goes to the gym regularly, which is very admirable. I think that takes a lot of discipline. And if you can do it, you know, have the time and all that, that's wonderful. And this person has surrendered his life into the hands of the trainer. And the trainer guides him as to which exercise machines and for how long. And I'm sure the advice in terms of the meal, I mean, everything that has to do with this person's fitness, this very good friend of mine is completely trusts the guidance of this trainer, which is very nice. And you can honestly, you can see the results because this person is very healthy, looks very fit. Praise God. So can you imagine that we can actually trust the guidance of another human being and we just completely follow their lead? Whatever they say, I do. If you say 10 more minutes on that machine, no one's arguing. Even if it hurts, I'm doing that. Now imagine so much more. How much more the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So this has been a beautiful teaching, which I'm sure that those that are hungry for the truth, because by the way, the Holy Spirit is the only way that we can possibly know the truth is by the Spirit of God. And I wanted to interrupt you a moment and ask you, Amor, what do you think happens when somebody doesn't have the Holy Spirit? Is it possible to know the truth without the Spirit of God? If it's not the Holy Spirit that is guiding us, who's guiding us? And then to where? If it's not in the truth, then what's the other option? This is a very serious topic. This is life-changing. This is a matter, I'm not going to say life and death because we may think it's in the natural, but we're talking about very important things here with this topic. So I pray that as we share, as you've shared, that the Holy Spirit, who's the best teacher of all, who will teach us all things, will specifically share with every listener and will repeat and will remind our listeners, our friends, what this word means and why God is so interested and so adamant about guiding those that he loves so much that he gave his life for us.
That's powerful and beautiful. All that you've shared there. I mean, there's so much to unpack even in that, the things you've shared. And it is of utmost importance. People say, this whole God thing I don't need because I got a mind of my own. I can choose for myself. Right. They might even say, well, it's God who's one who's given me the mind to make decisions. Mm-hmm. And so why would we need him to make decisions for us? But one of the things you brought out was very important to note that we're limited in our knowledge.
That's right.
And understanding. And like you said, you can come to a crossroad and say, well, I need to go left. And he may say, no, you need to go right. Why? Because he knows what tomorrow holds.
Right.
He knows everything on earth that's going on and will go on. And we're not saying all this to scare people, but at the same time, God is there not only to guide us into all truth and to teach us His will and His ways, but He's also there to protect us and to help
That's
us.
Right.
And He doesn't want us to have all kinds of evil things happening to us, because people will say sometimes, well, I just don't understand why God allowed this thing to happen. You know, life is going along well for him, and all of a sudden tragedy comes out of nowhere. And yet, many of those people that I hear say that don't have God in their life. They're not open to receive his guidance and direction, because he can lead us around and navigate us through the obstacles in life. And he knows how to do that better than anybody, because he knows everything. And so that's one of the benefits that we get from being filled with his Holy Spirit and allowing ourselves to be led by him, is that he will navigate our lives through the trials of life.
That's
you know,
right.
And this world is full of a lot of evil.
Yeah.
And we need him more than ever. You know, we need him to help us to make the decisions according to his plans for our lives, so he can guide us into that. Because, you know, I had no idea years ago he was going to call me into prison ministry, which I did for 27, 28 years. But that was his plan. And after he called me into it and I got into it, it became the best thing ever.
Mm.
That I was so enriched in my life to be a part of that kind of a ministry that, wow, God knows, and he knows how to equip you to fulfill his plan for your life, because whatever he calls you to do, he will equip you to
Amen.
Do it.
That's
and
right.
That's another one of the benefits there, is you have that security in him that as you follow his will for your life, that he's there for you. He doesn't give you that guarantee outside that covenant.
That's
because
right.
You're not committed to him, then where does it say he has to be committed to you? Because God knows all, and if we're going to submit to his, you're talking about submit to a trainer, people submit to their bosses,
That's
their
right.
jobs. They'll be there at whatever time the boss says they got to be there, because they want that paycheck. So they're going to, you know, you can't say that we don't have to commit to anybody or submit to anybody. We know we have to do that in life in order to be able to pay the bills and do the things we need to do. So how much more should we not submit to the Most High God, who knows more than everybody and has our best interests at heart?
That's right. And you know, the beauty of it is when Jesus spoke to his disciples, he gave them that good news that God was going to send the Holy Spirit. And he is known as the Comforter. And the disciples, we know that they went through great persecution. So even those hard times, as you said, that we encounter, it is so good to know that the Holy Spirit comforts us and gives us the strength to go through every trial and everything that we face with not even our own strength, but God's strength. And that's huge. So there is so much to say about the Holy Spirit, about being guided by him. And I know that we're going to continue. But before we say goodbye, we want to remind those that have never given their heart to Jesus, we want to remind you that this is available for you too, but you first have to take the first step, which is saying yes to God. You see, this beautiful gift of God's life is for those that want God in their life. Mm-hmm. So when you say Amen. Yes to God, then he comes and abides in you. And what does it mean to say yes to God? Well, there's only one way to God. There's only one way, and it's through God himself. There is no other way except through God himself, who is Jesus. And he came, he died on the cross for you, for me. Why? So that God can abide in you and he can guide you. So there is no shortcut. There is no shortcut. I know that we're used to fast food things, but there is no shortcut to this. There is only one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. So what we're inviting you to do, which is the Holy Spirit, say yes to Jesus. Say, I will give you my heart. I acknowledge that you are the Son of God. I am a sinner. I need you. I want you to be my Savior, and I want you to be my Lord. And you know what happens? The Holy Spirit, he comes and abides in you. And from there on, you are born again. And boy, get ready for the most exciting time of your life.
Amen. That's beautiful, sweetheart. So with that, we will end this broadcast here, and we will pick up part 2 Because like you said, sweetheart, there is a lot to talk about concerning the Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful and wonderful topic, and we'll pick this up next time. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and God bless you. We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.